Hi, I'm Fred Corral, pitching coach at the University of Tennessee. This tape will cover common faults that occur in the delivery and their corrections. It is my hope in the following moments that I'll be able to convey to you, the viewer, the ability to recognize these common faults that I see on a regular basis from kids ranging from the age of 7 all the way up to the professional baseball of 21 to 23. These common faults will range anywhere from lack of command of pitches and action to those pitches, common faults that occur in the approach of delivering those pitches, and last, the inability of a pitcher to be able to field his position. With that being said, let's get started. The first common fault that I want to address is the fault that every pitcher can realize. Every pitcher can realize, as well as every coach or parent can realize, by seeing that the young man is having a trouble with command in the zone. Easy to read faults could be fastballs that stay high and to their arm side, and having the young man state that he has trouble getting the ball down in the zone or down and away from his arm side. Following in those same lines, that fault could lead to the breaking ball, the curve ball staying loopy and to its arm side and up in the zone. The changeup will have the same type of response. The key in recognizing this common fault is the location of the pitches, not being able to get the ball down in the zone. Helping me out is Sean Smith. Reason balls stay up in the zone, there's some form of timing fault. As in all common faults, there'll be two areas that these fall into. Faults occur when a pitcher is too early going out to in his approach, and common faults will occur when a pitcher is too late going out into his approach. The key to these corrections are going to be, as discussed in the first tape, keeping the delivery balanced from start to finish, balanced in timing and synchronization. Here, we're going to demonstrate one of the reasons why pitchers miss high in the zone, or their breaking ball or their slider becomes flat and remains up in the zone. A good indication, like I stated earlier, would be not being able to throw a pitch away from the arm side. One of the things that can cause a problem is that pitchers will have late separation. When they get their up into their balance position and they're heading to the plate, they start going to the plate without separating their hands, and as a result, show me a late power position. Just go ahead and go into your power position. Their arm does not get into a good throwing position. Like discussed in the first tape, this balance phase 3 needs, the elbow needs to be at shoulder height and the arm in an L position. When leaving early, as you saw with Sean earlier, his hand was here and then all ruckus is about to start. As he goes to throw his pitch and get to the plate, his release point will then be back. So there needs to be a timing mechanism for the proper separation of the hands. And as we discussed in the previous tape, getting the balance phase 2 is the key. When the knee comes up to belt height and the foot starts its downward descent, the hand has got to start coming out of the glove in that sequence. If you can give me three pumps there. This timing and sequence of separation is what's going to allow for the hand and the arm and the body to work together. So separate down with that good clean action and stick that balance phase 3. Okay, you can see that in the approach that the foot started on its downward action going out was synchronized with Sean's arm action of bringing his hand out of his glove, elevating the elbow and letting the arm sit in the power L position. Another fault, aside from separating your hands late, could be having no secondary phase whatsoever. Separating in time with your knee being at belt height but going straight into the third phase of balance. This will cause you to rush your arm and get it in the same bad position as late separation did. So just, Sean, if you could demonstrate late separating in time, but going out to phase three. This can cause the arm to not be in position as well. Another aspect that'll keep your pitches high and into the zone, in the zone, and your off-speed pitches, your breaking pitches, flat or loopy and up in the zone, is having poor direction. Poor direction. And in this point, I want to illustrate with just some strings how easy it is to simply correct your pitch, not by changing necessarily delivery. I should state it is necessary to fix your separation and the timing of it. It is necessary that you fix the fact that you get into a secondary phase to go out, because where you may be able to locate pitches by making a simple correction that I'm going to show you is dealing with direction, you can run a high risk of injury. Pitching is a high risk pursuit, as proof in the all major league disabled lists. 40% of major league disabled lists are occupied by pitchers. So correcting this fault of late separation is a priority. Correcting this fault of going from phase one into phase three is a priority. With that being said, correcting your directional approach will allow you to get pitches into the zone. Some coaches out there, if a young man is on the right side of the rubber and he is missing with his fastball to the right side of the plate, his arm side of the plate and high, a simple fix, and I've seen it a great number of times, is simply move him back on the rubber. Get him to that other side of the rubber so that his fastball will catch more of the plate, or his breaking ball will no longer be arm side. This for me is not a good teach. This is a quick fix, but it doesn't correct the fault. We're gonna show you in a moment with strings, direction from in and out is a small, small adjustment. And by making an adjustment, you can correct these faults. Here I've lined up a string that goes from the outside part of the plate, comes up to the point where our pitcher will start off from, back to the outside part of the plate. And as you can see, the two lines that run out to the plate, going in and out, you'll learn this if your delivery is good and your approach is good and you're able to locate pitches, the process of going in and out will become better. But here, if a young man is having a tough time commanding the zone, and as opposed to moving him over, you simply make an adjustment of directing yourself from one side to the other. If you're going to the inside part of the plate, or if you can visualize it, if you're in the middle of the plate and that string was over, a whole plate length over, you directed yourself, the direction line will be the same. If you direct yourself to the inside part of the plate and you have movement that comes over the plate, or stays arm side, I should say, simply directing yourself to the outside of the plate will be the correction. Going from one side to the other is a small adjustment. Good archers, good hunters, it's like shooting a gun. If I'm going to shoot a gun and my ball's staying arm side and I can't get it away from my arm side, the first thing I want to correct is correct my mechanical adjustments, the separation adjustment, the getting from phase one to phase two prior to going out to three. I would correct those and make my delivery sound. Once I've made it sound, if I still have problems going in and out, I then want to make directional adjustments. This line gives me a good visualization as it shows that from going in and out to the plate, the adjustment at stride area is only a matter of an inch. In and out is only a matter of an inch. And I have to credit Oral Hershiser for telling me this and stating, talking to him at Vero Beach, asking him how he got movement away from his arm side. He told me simply that he stepped to that area. To keep the delivery the same without stepping in or out, but maintaining the delivery, the adjustment will be made at the base foot. And to show you an over an exaggeration with my base foot, if I am going here down this line with my foot this way and going down the line and being in line with that inside part of the plate, then going away from that, I would not want to keep my foot position in the same spot or in the same area when I go open. This will cause my hips to open prematurely. Even though we're talking about an inch at stride area, we're talking about an imbalance and we don't want to do that. So the small adjustment would be here at the base foot of simply turning it a fraction of an inch. We're talking an eighth of an inch at the most. We may talk even about the space that you have in your shoe, that you're able to move your foot, just simply moving your foot inward so that you can direct yourself to that outer part of the plate and be online. Hopefully this visual aid will be able to show you that pitching is about small adjustments. Release point, missing high in the zone and missing down in the zone are not big differences, but that they all occur probably within the diameter of a quarter. Same thing with the in and out. They occur with that 1 inch at stride area. I'm going to have Sean come out here and demonstrate how going to the inside part of the plate and keeping everything the same, maintaining for him life to his fastball and movement, as opposed to moving him over, just directing him in a different way so that that same movement that he has to the inside or arm side of the plate, that he will be able to obtain it going away from his arm side. From starting point, go to the inner half of the plate, Sean. And through. The nail, my apologies, Sean, on the nail being there. Maybe I'll hold this down. And if we can, now make the slight adjustment with your base foot and go to the outer half of the plate. It's the simplicity of the adjustment that will allow for the success to happen. It's a simple process that allows for the same way that you go to one side of the plate or the same way that you go to the plate, simply directing yourself will take you to the other side. Hunters, when shooting in one direction, do not rotate and shoot in another. Likewise, pitchers should not throw to one area and try to get their body to position for another. Simple adjustments of total movement of the body. The next common fault that I would like to bring to your attention is the fault of striding too closed. When you see pitchers that go out and their stride foot goes off of their stride line and their base area is too close to the plate. What exactly is too close to the plate? If we drew a line going from our starting point to home plate and we made a line to the plate, being too closed is more than a shoe width away from that stride line. Being on that line is good. Being one shoe width inside that line is good. It's okay. Being two, then, or further, then you find yourself starting to fight your body. So what we want to address is, why do some pitchers stride too close and work against their lower half, which also could be a case of not being able to command pitches down in the zone and especially away from their arm side. Sean's going to come up here and we're going to show you that the reason pitchers will be too close in their stride to the plate occurring in these areas. One can be that during leg lift, after he's done his rocker step, we're in a position where he's already done his rocker step, or even more so, we can say that it's even starting in the stretch. One way that a person can get too closed is that they start to go too early. They start going to the plate too early, they separate their hands too early, and the arm gets into a throwing position early, causing the young man to get into a position where he's closed and he's closing off his lower half. Another reason for this, and probably a key culprit to the rushing aspect and staying closed, is the back knee. The back knee. As we talked about in the first tape, it's essential that you get into balance phase two before you go out. Well, balance phase two, there's that inward roll of the knee, that inward roll that occurs of the foot directing the knee towards the target. The common fault here is that when the pitcher lifts and is ready to go, as he starts to go, the knee collapses. The knee collapses, and you can see that the direction, as Sean stopped in his direction, he was already going into this area, the closed area, that is. So what we want here is at that leg lift, when he gets that leg lift, we want to feel the foot rolling to the inside part and the knee to be directed towards the plate. Go ahead and glide out to power into your balance phase three. That rolling of the foot causing the knee to be directed towards the target. Again, a bad approach and a culprit to rushing is that when the leg lift occurs and the secondary phase happens, the knee goes to third base for a right-hander, or for a left-hander, the knee goes to first base, as opposed to letting that foot roll inward and the knee to direct itself to the target. Correcting this and getting into the secondary phase of balance, you will allow yourself to get into your stride line, to get into that optimal area around your stride line, so that you can work freely, your hips can work freely in the delivery of the pitch. The next thing that I want to talk about is the reverse action of that, and that's striding too open. Striding too open can also force you to get arm side high and late. Going in your stride path to an open stance can cause your arm to trail in a rotational state and force your release point back. So the common fault for this, very different from the knee one, is that when the pitcher assumes the balance position and he separates his foot down as he's going out, that he takes the side of his foot out to his target. The body won't allow him to throw with his foot closed, so as he goes out, this foot will swing open, and in swinging open, it'll cause his front side to go open with it, causing this arm to sit and possibly the release point late. So if Sean, if you could show them leading with your toes after balance phase one, gliding out to balance phase three with the side of your foot or your toes, and you'll see how this will open up the lower half of the pitcher. Okay. In doing so, it rushes the arm. It now pulls an imbalance where the lead half is not working with the back half, the throwing side half, and forcing the release point late and to the arm side. Thank you, Sean. Fixing these two areas, if you're too closed, directing your back knee better to the target will help you get your pitches located down in the zone. If you're opening up in your stride area, simply correcting this will be during the secondary phase of balance, when the foot comes down, turning this heel forward. We want to lead to the plate with a heel, hip, then head action. In leading with the heel, you can allow for a more direct linear path with your lower half. Show them, Sean. You can see that if I drew a line on the mound from both paths, the foot starting from here, you see a more direct path with Sean's lower half in that stride foot than with his heel leading, as opposed to leading with the foot and the foot comes out and around. So leading with the toes of your foot can cause an imbalance with the open side. Correcting that would be leading with the heel as long as possible. In watching tapes, I've seen that heel leads to the target approximately 3/4 of the way out to stride. The next common fault that I'd like to bring to your attention is the aspect of getting to your front side in balance phase three. This could be one of the major culprits to this, could be rushing to the plate or not having any separation between your lower half and your upper half. It is very essential that to maintain the body in balance, that when you achieve the secondary phase of balance, that you lead with that heel to hip to head relationship, that the head is the last thing to go to the target. When you go in what I call a one-piece delivery, when you lift and the heel and the foot and the head all go together, you find that you will get to the front side of your power position, which will minimize your lower half energy, which could optimize your velocity. So getting to your front side can cause you to, one, lose velocity, two, it can put you in a high risk area in getting to the front side and not having that lower half to assist the body in its throwing action. Many things can happen, and a lot of them are not good. One of the ways that we want to correct this, and I'll have Sean come up here as I talk about it, is from that secondary phase of balance, when we go from phase one to phase two, we want to feel this action, and as the back knee starts going to the target and the back hip there's this slight tilt as the hip is going to the target. The heel is in front of the hip and the hip is in front of the head. You can have some tilt here, which isn't a problem. And you see most, a majority of power pitchers do that. In the first tape, I referred it to riding the back leg longer. Here, we want to do the same thing in correcting this fault, is to ride your back leg as long as possible. As Sean goes out to the plate, he has this heel, hip to head relationship, and the body finishes balanced and weight down the middle. A bad way to do it is that one piece delivery that I showed you earlier, that when Sean lifts, even though he gets into a secondary phase of balance, if he goes together, he will put himself to the front side of his position, and more than likely his arm will be in a position like this at that stride foot plant. Or if he is fortunate enough to get his arm in this position, his throwing arm, he may still be able to have command as a result of his arm being in a ready position, but he is now throwing a pitch without the maximum use of his lower half. There's an imbalance there, and like we said, the delivery is about balance, and to get this position into balance, he needs to get here and there. That little adjustment could mean a higher percentage of strikes thrown, and it could mean less time in recovering from arm soreness, which would be an immediate signal that something wrong is occurring. The next common fault that I want to discuss is, like the last one, when you are rushing to the plate, another thing that you'll see is arching the back and head being tilted. Okay, identifying that and seeing that a young man that tilts his head or arches his back could very well be the result of the same thing that we spoke about on getting to the front side early. Pitching is a process of about balance, and I'm going to have Sean come up here again, and we're going to show that getting to the front side, the body wants to get into balance phase three. If you can show balance phase three real quick, Sean. It wants to get into balance phase three, and this is the optimal position for throwing a pitch, because now Sean's backside, just go to rolling your laces. Here, the back hip, the back shoulder, and the back knee can work together. The body wants to get here. If you can go back to your the balance phase three. Now, if a person is getting to the front side of his delivery early, one of the reactions of the body will be to get out of the way, to kind of arch and get out of the way. The head wants to get out of the way, and it wants to allow the arm to fire. The reason it does this is because now the body, once the stride foot hits the ground, it's ready to throw. The arm pretty much sends a message, because it's already to the front side, pretty much sends a message of, hey, get out of the way, I'm coming through. If you see this in your athlete or your child, one of the reasons is that rushing aspect. If you're rushing to the plate and getting to your front side early, you're going to see the symptom or the fault of head being tilted and back being arched, because the arm needs to come through to deliver the pitch, and because he's to his front side early, he's going to force himself to get out of the way so that his arm can come through. This is a fault that needs to be corrected, because as you lose your front side and you have that imbalance, with the front side being in an imbalance with the back side, there's not that continuity between front side and back side, it's going to apply a lot of stress in that shoulder region. Also, you're gonna see the result in command where the ball is gonna stay arm side. So correcting it will be working on making sure that, as we did earlier, focusing on balance phase one, separating down into two, and when you initiate your glide or your drive to the plate, that it is initiated with heel, hip, then head, and finishing in this nice balanced position. The next common fault that I want to address is upper body aggressiveness. When a guy gets to his front side, it's very, as we discussed a while ago, getting to your front side can be an upper body aggressive. Not being able to retain the weight over the back side in that secondary phase of balance and allowing that heel to hip to head relationship in that glide, but that you go with the upper body going with the lower half and getting to the front side early. Upper body aggressiveness is also in the fact that when you do try to get more extension or you're forcing yourself to reach further out to the target, you can be upper body aggressive. And a good indication of upper body aggressiveness is to see it with your own eye, is to see the young man in his release point as they fire. There'll be more movement with their upper body than there is with that lower half. It's like the upper body dictates the throw and the lower half is just going along for the ride. So as the upper body goes, you will see this at release, you'll see this great distance that occurs between the knees as a result of being upper body aggressiveness. Taking your head out, seeing that distance between the knees will give you a direct indication that your pitcher is being upper body aggressive. One of the culprits to this is the new fad of towel drills. Just a short story in the fact that I ran across a young man who had this same problem, came to me and told me that he did this towel drill over and over and over. I used to do a similar drill that we used a rope and a chair. We set the chair approximately 2 feet out in front of the stride foot and we would go out and hit the chair with our rope. I found that this drill did more harm than it did good. Our thoughts were that we got more extension to the plate, which we did, but we lost a direct advantage of using our lower half to work in unison with our upper half in that backside delivery. What I also found that is pitchers that are upper body aggressive do not necessarily get the same extension as guys who are optimal in their balance when they fire their back hip, back shoulder, and they get out. They actually get more extension to the plate. They get their release point closer to the plate when the body is balanced and in unison. Right here, I'm going to have Sean show you one of the towel drills that is not something that I recommend because it doesn't promote balance through the delivery. And the drill that this young man showed me when we did this is that he said he found his stride foot plant area. So Sean, if you can go out and just throw a pitch. From his stride foot area, okay, thank you, Sean. From his stride foot area, they went five paces, or not paces, but five toe to toe, 2, 3, 4, 5, they turned and held their glove at waist height. Then they asked the individual to reach out and slap the towel against the glove. As you can see, as Sean does this, he may be able to get to reach out, but what is causing him to reach out, and especially at this lower area? It's going to be his upper body, and he's going to be what we call upper body aggressive, and he's going to be diving with his head. This puts your arm in a very vulnerable position, because if your head gets in front of your arm, it forces your release point back, and it forces that elbow back, causing more stress into that shoulder and elbow region. So if you can go out and hit the glove, just throw a normal pitch and get out here. Okay, you've missed. So you need a little more extension and get it out here. So reach. This is very tough for Sean, because Sean does have a very good delivery. It's very, very solid in its approach. So for him to want to reach out with his hand and get here, he really has to dive with his head. And it's something that he doesn't want to do. Secondly, the area in which the glove is, like I stated earlier, causes him to reach further out. And as a result of reaching further out, he becomes upper body aggressive. Well, we don't release a ball from this area. So why do we want to reach out further into this area? One of the drills that we'll cover in our next tape, drills to improve and maintain the delivery, will cover this subject. But an upper body aggressive person puts himself in a very tough situation. One where his head gets in front of his body, or not in front of his body, but his arm. And secondly, in doing so, he loses an optimal advantage of exercising his lower half to work in unison with his upper half, keeping the body in balance, which is the key to preventing injury and the key to throwing more strikes. The next common fault that we want to talk about is the follow-through and putting the pitcher in a poor fielding position, getting the pitcher to where he is not able to field his position on short balls or any comebacker coming back up the middle of the mound. Faults in these areas are, one, striding to your target, but yet falling off to one side of the rubber, one or the other. If you're falling off to your glove side, more than likely you're going to fall off to the mound. If you're falling to your glove, to your arm side, more than likely your back foot is not going to come forward, and you're going to finish with your back foot behind your stride foot, being unable to get to one side or the other on fielding a short ball. In demonstration, I'm going to have Sean come out here, and in throwing a pitch, falling off to your glove hand side is a result of upper body aggressiveness. It can be a result of getting to your front side early. It could be a result of taking your head too far to the target. Remember that we stated in the first tape that balance needs to occur throughout the delivery, and the head determines where balance will be. The body is always going to catch the head and the body in balance. So if the head goes past the stride foot, the back leg will have to come forward and into an area where it has to catch the body into balance. So if Sean, as Sean goes to balance phase four, down to three, balance phase three, and into four, okay, just stop in your fourth phase of balance for me. That if you go and you're in the fourth phase of balance, as the hand or the head get too far in front of the stride foot, the back leg will then have to catch it into balance, finishing with the head in the center of both feet. So the further the head travels to the target, the more the back leg will want to come through and swing. Now, it's not to say that people with good mechanics don't fall off to the rubber, off to their glove side of the rubber, or the mound, I should say, a la Bob Gibson, who had so much force with his lower half, and his lower half was so much in tune with his upper half, that when he threw his fastball, there are photos of him where he looks like he's running to first base on his follow through. That wasn't a result of Bob Gibson getting too far in front of his foot. It was a result of Bob Gibson having optimal backside energy and lower half energy, to be precise, that continued to have his foot go towards the first base side. There are not a lot of Bob Gibsons out there. But with that in mind, the key culprit is the head traveling too far to the target, traveling too far past the stride leg. So as you see Sean go through his delivery, Sean, intentionally I want you to throw your pitch, and I want your head to exceed your stride foot by about 8 inches. As you see his head go through, his back leg will have to come forward and come out to catch him into balance. Another aspect that causes you to rush to your front, to fall to your glove side, is that power position, the balance phase three, in which you're to your front side, the body is arched, and the head then becomes outside the stride leg. As the head becomes outside the stride leg, as the pitch is thrown, and I'll help you with this one, Sean, the head will then fall off to the side and the back leg will follow. So in understanding why the body falls off to that side, if you haven't looked at your young man closely and you saw that, as we discussed earlier, that he's getting to his front side early because you see a lot of distance between the knees. You see a lot of distance between the knees in the power position, and as he's going to release, you don't see that distance close between the knees, then you know he's upper body with his head aggressive, or he's imbalanced with his head outside his stride foot. The second case, I should say before I go into the second case of being closed, the simple way to fix this is to make sure that the body is in balance, that it is in balance all the way through the delivery. So as you see, we're going to go from phase 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5, and I'll show you how you keep this in balance. We'll talk about the key components. In balance phase 1, we talked about that athletic posture. That athletic posture stays that way throughout the delivery. So for when you have separation down to phase 2, the body position hasn't changed. When he glides out or drives out to balance phase 3, that posture stays the same. So he gets out to balance phase 3, you see this posture. It's almost as if Sean has his head inside his toe line. This is a good thing, because as he fires to phase 4 and the backside fires, it's his release point that brings his head back to center. In bringing the head back to center, now the follow through can continue and the body can finish balance into its fifth phase. So focusing on those areas will help you. One thing I forgot just as we were going through this, another culprit to falling off to your glove side can be an aggressive lead arm, pulling the glove. Okay, one of the things that we want to address here is that we don't want to pull our glove. Just go ahead and do your phases all the way to 3. When we get into this third phase, the glove hand, as the backside starts to slowly come forward, you can see that the glove is going to turn to a palm up position, remaining over the stride foot. It can be let down below it, it can be chest height, it can be even higher, but it remains over the glove foot. Taking the glove back can cause you to get this way in this, what the old timers used to call a T-bone position, but getting the head outside the foot will cause that imbalance and falling off to that side. So as you practice in correcting this fault of being athletic and being in balance from phase 1 to phase 2, to phase 3, to phase 4, to phase 5, you also want to focus on the fact that you don't want your glove swinging in any way, which could also be the reason that you fall off to that side. The continuation of falling off to the side, the direct opposite of this is when your backside doesn't come all the way through. What happens when you finish and your backside is still back. You're not completing something. You're leaving something back on the mound. The reason for this occurring is in the length of the stride. The length of the stride. If the individual, I'm going to have Sean stride out to his normal position, and as he goes out into the balance phase three, if that stride is longer and we force him out longer, now there becomes a battle of getting his head into a position over his stride foot. And if that head doesn't get to where the stride foot is, you can see that Sean has a tough time even maintaining balance. That back foot will not come all the way through because it needs, like I said, the body's going to finish balance. And if he can't get over that stride foot, the back leg is going to probably stop behind his stride foot. You see this in a lot of young kids who really focus in throwing the ball to their target when they start pitching, that it's almost like they have a nail in their back foot. And when they throw, they're so focused on throwing the ball to their target that they're really using their upper body. They have no use of their lower half, and they get to a point where they're throwing and they're keeping that back foot there behind the stride foot. For older kids, it's a result of guys trying to get closer to the plate and striding longer than they should. When you stride longer than you should, the optimal distance for a correct stride is going to probably be anywhere from your body height to your nose. Now, this doesn't go for everybody, and we're talking striding from 80% to 100% your body height, because Mark Littell, the gentleman that gave me the idea in the first tape about the L out to L up sequence, even though he was known as Big Country, he had a very tall torso. He had very short legs. He had the legs of someone that was 6 foot, but he was at the height of about 6'6". So for him to stride, for me to tell Mark that he needed to stride at least 80% his body height, it was not in sync with the proportion of his body. For him to stride 80% of his body height, he would almost have to do the splits. The ratio of 80% to 100% does not go for everybody. But the key to making sure that you get over that stride foot would be the length of the stride. So if your stride is too far and you can't get your head over that stride foot, as Jerry Weinstein visually puts it, nose over toes, and the head stays behind the foot, the back leg will not come all the way through, putting the pitcher in a bad health position with the throwing arm, and secondly, being able to allow him to field his position. Correcting this, finding your optimal stride length to where you can get your head over your nose over your toes and your release point out front is going to be the correction. So if you're striding too close, you can pretty much direct your thoughts to your stride length. The last common fault that I would like to talk about is the common term of that I hear from a lot of the younger kids is that I need to grab dirt. I'm in that follow through that I should grab dirt and finish. That follow through should be in a flat back position. in a flat back position. This is not a good instruction to give to a young man, because what it forces a young man to do in that flat back to finish is, like we discussed earlier, it forces the young man to be more aggressive with his head. It forces a guy to be more upper body aggressive with his delivery. And in doing both, it forces the young man to get his release point further back. As the head becomes more aggressive, the release point will go further back, putting the arm in a very vulnerable position. Optimal height, or an optimal finish, would be that in which your nose finishes over your toes and your head follows the ball. Your head will go from nose over toes and following the ball. The correct way to follow through, another reason that you're told to grab dirt, is that you want to make sure that you finish pitches. You can finish pitches by, one, getting to a proper extension of your release, and after the ball leaves your hand, following the pitch with the head no further than approximately 2 to 4 inches past your stride foot. So grabbing dirt, you see a kid that gets upper body aggressive or gets that flat back finish because he wants to grab dirt, the common correction is that that does not need to occur. Just as long as after release, the young man continues his arm in a long, lengthy manner to finish, he will be okay. So eliminating grabbing dirt, finishing with that flat back, you will correct a fault that could cause arm injury, could cause location to be up in the zone, and other imbalances that will result in becoming upper body aggressive. Understanding our five phases of balance, you'll have a better idea in understanding when that occurs. And the drive to the plate, or the push off with the back leg, occurs in that expansion phase from balance phase 2 to balance phase 3. Now I'm going to have Sean come out here again, and we're going to show you the secondary phase of balance from balance phase 1, where actually, I'm going to show you where pushing off the rubber can be very bad for you. Now, if you get your balance position, Sean, and you start your push off from this position, you're going to be out of sync. You're going to cause the body to get in front of the arm. The arm will be playing catch up with the body and adding extra stress to that shoulder and elbow region. So where you do not want to drive is from this balance position. If you drive from this balanced position, you'll get your body, like I said earlier, to the front side, and the arm will lag behind. When does that drive occur? Well, we're going to show you very simply that the drive occurs as the foot starts its downward plane, and we start that. If Sean, if you could just, when I say go, just kind of start your expansion to that line. As the foot starts to expand and the elbows start going up and the weight gets here, understand that Sean's foot's not on the ground, though we have it here on the ground right now, it's on its way to the plate. In this position, the back knee starts coming forward. In doing so, the foot starts to roll inward. When you feel that weight get to the inside part of the foot and the arms have already started to expand, and the head is behind the hip and the hip's behind the heel, this is the time that we want to generate energy from our backside. If you do not, you will find yourself in that upper body aggressive mode of using more upper half than lower half. To optimize the backside firing, you have to drive from that area. So we're going to show you the third phase of balance after that little drive. So we're going to do a little step in between balance phase two to balance phase three, and we're going to call this the expansion, direction, and the push. Okay, so the balance occurs, separate down. Now balance has occurred, direction is going to occur with the heel, elbows are going to start to expand up, there's expansion occurring in the lower half, the weight gets to the inside, the foot starts to roll inward. Now go out to your third phase of balance. This foot, as you see with Sean here, trying to stay in a controlled position, still stays here, but you'll see that this foot will be in this position as the body remains still in balance, and he's ready to optimize his back knee, his back hip, and his back shoulder firing to the target. We'll do this in regular game speed, but we won't start the push until that secondary phase of balance occurs and the expansion starts. Okay, so I want you to really drive off that back of that mount. Optimize your lower half, Sean, after your secondary phase. As you start your expansion, go ahead and fire that backside. And as he does this, I recommend that you watch his back hip, his back knee, and his back shoulder, and how they work in delivering the baseball, assisting the throwing arm in delivering the pitch. Very good. Now, to see this and to see if your guy, your pitcher, your child, or your athlete is doing this optimally, we're going to take a different camera angle, and I'm going to show you why the body is meant to initiate force off that backside, and a cue that you can look at as an instructor watching the pitcher from back, how simply watching his drag mark will let you know if he's optimizing his lower half or if he's upper body aggressive. A good quick read without the use of videotape or a very quick eye would be to watch the back foot as the young man is throwing. When you look at the back foot and you look at the stride line, you assume the stride line of the pitch. When a gentleman is using his lower half optimally, this back foot, as it rolls and the upper body starts to rotate, the back foot will come behind the stride line to release before going out. And you'll see behind the stride line before going out. When you see this, a guy is optimizing his lower half. Now, if you see an upper body aggressive guy, you'll be able to point him out immediately when you see, as a guy gets upper body aggressive and he fires his backside, the foot will start an immediate drag to the outside. You'll see a line from that drag go immediately to their throwing side. It'll never go behind the stride line, it'll go immediately out, and more than likely it'll be something very, very short. Paying attention to this drag mark that occurs on the backside can give you a direct idea if a guy is using his lower half optimally or if he's losing something in being upper body aggressive. Right now I'm going to have Sean run through the delivery, and I'm going to ask him to be very upper body aggressive without the thought process of his back leg, and watch how that back leg, the back foot, immediately goes up. Okay, matter of fact, I will demonstrate it with this towel drill type idea. So if he comes out thinking to reach for my glove, he's going to become upper body aggressive, and you'll see what happens with that back leg. Go. Okay, you saw the foot go immediately out. Now, when he optimizes his lower half, now you can do this maintaining balance through your delivery and firing your backside. Really push off that rubber and go. You can see how the back foot came behind the stride line before going out. this is the optimal way for the body to work. And as we discussed in the balanced approach to pitching mechanics, we talked about the flatbed truck going down the road, the merry-go-round being on top of the flatbed truck, and this gravitron type action on top of the merry-go-round. Not a Ferris wheel, but an angled gravitron. The reason that this happens, and you know that your the young man is doing it correctly, is visualize yourself on top of a rotating chair, a rotating desk chair, or a piano chair. If you stood on top of the piano chair and you understand that the rotational forces that occur in the midsection or the core region, as they fire, the way the body wants to keep itself in balance is that back foot will go in the opposite direction. So if he's having optimal rotation in his core region and he's got optimal backside energy, that back foot will go through. As you stand on the piano chair and you rotate this way, your feet will go in the opposite direction. Your lower half will go in the opposite direction. That's how the body works. That's how it wants to work. And if you become upper body aggressive, you see that short mark, you're losing something. That's the closing of our tape, Common Faults and Their Corrections. It is my hope that in the common faults that I've been able to present to you, that I made it a clear understanding and a clear process of how to correct such things. Pitching, there's a great number of things that can happen in the pitching delivery, and I understand that I only addressed a few, but I addressed a few that I thought were very valuable to touch upon. As you continue to watch this tape and as you continue to work on your delivery, it is my hope that these drills or these corrections will be able to maximize your child or your pitcher to his fullest ability. I wish you the best of luck with this, and I hope to see you in the future in the big leagues.